Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. Share that I do from Ambitious Heroes and Heartache. I'm going to do this one in real time again, as well as like I did the last one, instead of playing an actual clip from the audiobook. I'm going to read it in real time so that I can talk about it a little bit, because today's message has definitely been one that I've wrestled with quite a bit in the last couple of years for sure. And it's this idea that we really tend to squander our moments. And the name of this chapter is actually Life is Measured in Moments. And it's interesting, you know, I figured out, I had the thought one time a while back that it's like, if you could show up now in this moment without the story about who you are or what's wrong or, you know, all the stories we tell ourselves, if you could show up in the moment without the story, which means to have fresh eyes, that would do most of the heavy lifting when it comes to personal development and growth work. But we have such a tough time letting go of our stories, and we have such a difficult time, you know, really knowing how to appreciate the moment, I think, with modern culture, because, of course, that's not something we're taught. We're taught to do. We're taught to work hard. We're not always taught to be. And so a lot of my work has been trying to reclaim the balance in the human being, not doing. I started this chapter off with a Ram Dass quote. It said, "The heart surrenders everything to the moment. The mind judges and holds back." Before beginning work on this book, I had another one in mind. I set out to write a book called The Invictus Principle. Invictus is often referred to as the ability to master one's own fate, as described in the 1973 Ernest Henley poem carrying the same title. My thought process behind the book was to interview as many high performers as possible and tease out a formula that you and I could apply to our own lives. Essentially, I wanted to create a 3-to-5-step process that, if followed, would all but guarantee success in whatever your chosen pursuit was. This would be an easy-to-follow escape plan to avoid the drudgery of an average life so many of us feel trapped inside of. I thought earnestly about how great it would feel to hand the keys to freedom over to all the people who live lives of quiet desperation. Those of us who work our tails off for thankless bosses while secretly craving a different life. A better life. It had all the fixings of the next sexy self-help book. And I was hopelessly naive. See, because mathematical formulas work when there's only a single answer to be found. A plus B equals C makes sense when C represents a constant, an unchanging value with defined limits. If I were to tell you that, let's say, hard work plus an unlimited belief system equals success, it would be misleading. There are other factors involved. Luck, timing, your support system, your daily habits, not to mention the terms in which you define success in the first place. Even if all those things could be counted for, which they can't, we still have another problem. We're not putting this equation to paper in a controlled environment. The truth is that our lives are anything but constant and controlled. They're messy, dirty, difficult, chaotic, and they're filled with pain and struggle. They're also filled with inexplicable ecstasy and joy. They're filled with moments when you didn't know being alive could feel so good. It is those moments that make all the pain and struggle worth it in a way that we can't always understand. You simply can't have one without the other. And that's what the human experience is, an unstable, impassioned paradox. A paradox is when you have, this is me not reading, a paradox is when you have two things at once that are true. And I think that when we are starting in our, you might say growth journey, but just in our life journey, we find that there's a lot of opposition to things. And what's interesting is, as your consciousness increases, your perspective gets higher, you actually start to realize that there are multiple paths to the same thing. There are multiple truths to the same thing. And we can hold those truths at once. Like, life can be messy, dirty, chaotic, and absolutely worth it at the exact same time. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about there. So we're always living within an enigma of environments that are changing for reasons beyond our control, which induces feelings we don't always understand. This in turn puts us in emotional states we don't or wouldn't necessarily choose to be in. Then when we're left to pick up the pieces, and that's what life is, you and I, up to our knees in mud, picking up the shattered pieces of what used to be and trying our best to put them together in a way that will make something great. This is something worth looking at and talking about. We're always in flux. And if you can gain some perspective, even in the midst of a storm, the flux is what makes the whole thing so damn beautiful. It's knowing that although you're muddy and in pain, it's going to make one hell of a story when you're on the other end of it. It's also why there's no formula that works for everyone. We're dynamic beings that are complex beyond comprehension. That makes both simplicity and short-lived ideals within our lives. That makes both simplicity and safety short-lived ideals within our lives. There is no path. There is no one-size-fits-all approach. That last two sentences, there is no path and there is no one-size-fits-all approach. My life was stuck there for years. And when I'm at the smallest version of who I am, I still get stuck there, right? I want to know, like, what's the path? What's the right answer? What's the thing I have to know to do this life thing right? And it's like, well, there is no path. There is no right answer. There are many paths and there are many answers and there are many people that are taking those paths. And if we can relax into that, we realize that it's true, you know, and we don't need the path. We don't need someone to tell us. We can just step where we feel called. And I think that our highest expression in life is that, like, when we're really honoring who we actually are, that's what we're doing. We're not doing a paint by numbers here. So trying to look at our lives as constants that might be controlled and trying to define them without those limits will only lead to trouble. Yet, how many of us do that? How many of us seek out the simple solution to a complex problem and cling to it, hoping for a positive outcome? How many of us hold on tightly to what we know or what we've been told because it feels safe? I think in the religious world, that happens quite a bit, honestly. People make major life decisions about where to work, where to live, and who to date based on what will lead to the most stability within their lives, failing to realize that any hint of stability is a false sense of security at best. At worst, it is a job offer that will never change, deciding to let you go. It is the mortgage that will never decrease in value, sinking with the market. And it's the spouse that you chose, letting you down because we're humans and we do that to each other. The rug being torn out from under your feet is a lot more unsettling when you believe it can't be done. You're better off getting used to it, becoming friends with the change and the tension instead of fighting to resist it. The moments of tension are where life is lived. They pull at you in either direction and you are perfectly capable of dancing with them as they do. Yet how many of us spend our lives trying to avoid tension in an attempt to get along? Often we're fake in our interactions. We lie to each other and to ourselves because pleasantries are easier to stomach than hard conversations. But hard conversations lead to long-term satisfactions. Pleasantries lead to resentment when real life is boiling below the surface. There was something I wanted to talk about from that last paragraph. Oh, the rug being torn out from under you. Right. As just happened to all of us in 2020. Right? The stable ground is a facade. There is no stable ground. We live in a world where everything is impermanent, not some things. Every single thing about this world is impermanent. But we want to cling to our false sense of safety, and we think we own things because we have the receipt for them. But you're just using it. 7 decades, 8 decades, 9, 10 decades, if you are among the absolute luckiest of us, you know, or maybe that's not even lucky. I think maybe after like 7 or 8 decades, it probably starts going downhill, but just something worth thinking about, right? Like, we convince ourselves, like, I own that. I am that. No, you're not. And no, you don't. You know, nobody does. It's all going away. It's all a sandcastle. And that realization, though, brings with it a decent amount of existential dread. if you can, as I said, relax and lean into it, it takes a lot of pressure off. You know, you don't own things, you know, you're just here to be good stewards of them. And that is doable for a human being. We can be good stewards of the things that we own and the things that we do. But when we try to have some sort of, we try to claim some ultimate ownership or reality, you know, we get a little bit above our own pay grade, I think, and things start to fall apart for us. So back to the book. The fact is that so much of what we do today is a subtle attempt to squeeze the life out of our moments. We set the temperature in our house so they aren't too hot or too cold. We do the same with our showers. We cancel the day's activities in the event of inclement weather, preferring not to go outside in the harshness of the world. Feelings are easily hurt, so we protect our youth with safe spaces and trigger warnings. All of this despite the fact that a beautiful piece of art can never be appreciated if you never remove the bubble wrap. We answer questions about how we're doing with "I'm fine" or "good but busy." We're taught to make our decisions based on what is safest and not what might yield the most growth. And this begs the question, what are we here for? If we're here solely for safety and productivity, then we're on the right track. If we die and God commends us on our lives of stability, I think we have a lot to look forward to. We can look forward to a heaven complete with soft edges, 401ks, and conservative traffic laws. Nothing tempts me more than an eternity of good but busy. What if that's not why we're here at all, though? What if we're here to live not as we have been, on perfectly paved roads with buildings and even bigger egos, with big buildings and even bigger egos, but as something more, something deeper? What if the temperature was never regulated? What if we were never regulated? What if you found the highest possible ideal you could imagine and then went after it with reckless abandon, all while acknowledging that the odds are definitely against you? Interesting note about that. Carl Jung, the analytical psychologist, tended to define God in some of his work as the absolute highest possible ideal that you could imagine, like the highest possible ethical right. And so that takes a little bit of pressure off, you know, because I think sometimes we grow up with this interesting view of God as this old man in the sky who's also an account keeper, and we kind of conflate it with Santa Claus, and we think that if we do the right things and we get on the right list, then we'll go to the right place. And what if you just took a step back from that and found the highest possible ideal you could imagine and then just went after it, dedicated yourself to it, to something bigger than yourself? How would that change your life? What if the odds aren't important because regardless of your belief system, the odds that you're here now and that you have another chance to pursue something great means your existence has already overcome the most staggering odds imaginable? What if we're here to overload the senses with the best of the world instead of falling back to the same smell and feel of our old safe habits? What if we're here to make the most of our physical bodies because our souls are infinite beings, desperately clawing to show the world and to show you what real endurance looks like? So many lives are faced with adversity, yet when tested, the energy contained in one human's willpower is so great that the only logical explanation is one of a soul that aspires to overcome, a soul that knows nothing of limitations and boundaries. What if that's what you're working with? What if that quiet desperation you feel is the universe begging you to come play, to sleep under the stars or swim in the ocean because this entire blue rock is a playground that's here just for you? To forget about what's safe in the hopes that you might find what's worthy. To be knee-deep in mud, picking up the pieces of your broken life only to stumble upon someone else doing the same. And then to realize that your broken pieces aren't broken at all because they fit together perfectly. What if we're never actually broken? Just a puzzle piece that hasn't yet found their fitting. Self-help gurus tell us we have to be positive despite our surroundings, but how do you stare out the window when it's raining and still manage to see the world for its beauty? You don't, because denying the storm isn't living within the tension. You have to go out into it. You have to go out to the beach and jump in the water while it's pouring. Then you'll understand that beauty isn't about aesthetics at all. It's a feeling. And that is the last chapter that I will read out of Ambitious Heroes and Heartache. This one is called, again, Life is Measured in Moments. And if you are interested in the audiobook of Ambitious Heroes and Heartache, you can check it out at the link in this bio or just go to Amazon and Google it. So I hope you all have a good Friday. As we head into the weekend, please remember that you do not need more time. You need more moments where you lose track of it. I love you guys. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.